The following reading is brought to you by the Illinois Radio Reader. Hello, this is Joan with the Bloomington Normal Pantograph, dated Thursday, September 4th, 2025. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Hornets Tune to Something Great. Eureka Marching Band Gets New Director, Keeps Same Energy. By Matus Janik. Eureka. For Eureka High School senior Katrina Scott, 17, her first introduction to band was in seventh grade when she played the French horn. But it didn't strike her as something she wanted to pursue. I'm just not a music type of person. But my older sister played clarinet in the high school marching band all 4 years, and she loved it, Scott said. I had to go to every competition, and every single time that I went, I saw the color guard. Seeing the different colors from the flags and uniforms, combined with the constant dance movement, changed her perspective and led to her joining the color guard in her freshman year. Now, in her senior year, she is looking forward to putting on the best show with everyone around her. I want to spark loyalty in the team and make sure they know that this is the place where you want to be, and this is a team that you want to be part of for all 4 years, Scott said. The Eureka High School Marching Hornets show this year is titled Frozen Inferno, and band director Jordan Prophet describes it as a love tragedy between the elements of fire and ice. The band will perform original music arranged alongside pieces like the Firebird theme by Igor Stravinsky and Elsa's Procession by Richard Wagner. Prophet, who was offered the job of director last November, said he's been able to talk with retired director Todd Stalter every step of the way and has been supported by assistant director Ben Weiland, as well as all the students and their families. It was a little bumpy at first, and truthfully, it's kind of expected. I mean, band is band at every school, but every band works differently, Prophet said. What I've been telling the kids since day one is, do you trust Mr. Stalter? And if the answer is yes, you should be able to trust me, because Mr. Stalter had a huge role in determining who the next band director was going to be, and he's been helping me this whole way. As for this year's show, Prophet said they are learning the rest of the drill, and he's excited for audiences to see the introductions of both Fire and Ice and the chaos that starts to take place toward the end of the show. The props are inspired by the Blue Devils Drum and Bugle Corps' 2013 show, The Rewrite of Spring, and include 10-foot-tall PVC bowls with half-painted red and the other painted blue, Prophet said. Their drill writer, former Marion Catholic High School band director Greg Bim, is incorporating the show's themes and colors in the formations across the field, and other choreographed elements are being implemented to reflect the themes of fire and ice. The band, which has about 77 members this year, plans to perform the show 8 times, including during halftime at EHS home football games on September 5th, September 26th, and October 17th. The competition schedule includes the Washington Marching Panther Invitational on September 6th, Red and Black Fall Classic on September 20th, Downers Grove South Marching Mustang Music Bowl on October 4th, the Illinois State Marching Band Championships at ISU on October 11th, and the Lincoln Way Invitational on October 18th. Having stepped into a band that has won 16 state class championships at the Illinois State Marching Band Championships at ISU from 2000 to 2024, there is a level of expectation already set, but the band's mantra of everybody all the time has not changed. Prophet said that mantra is similar to what he grew up with, which was a little different, but had the same goal. It's easier to be better than somebody else than be the best that you can be. What I tell the students is that you can go out and you can perform with 50% of your heart, and if you beat someone else, you didn't do the hard job because you didn't give it 100%, Prophet said. If you go out and you give 100% and you still lose, you have nothing to be upset about. Prophet said he hasn't talked with students much about placements or awards, but he knows what the program is capable of. They want to continue that tradition at ISU and at the other competitions, all while being the best versions of themselves, he said. I want to do something great with the show, whether that be finals again at ISU or winning another competition. But we have to do something great on the field first, and that's what I'm focused on, said senior drum major Isaiah Ware, 18. For me, I'm thinking of how I can uplift the band and talk to people and be more personable to make people want to strive for that. Ware said he loves the shows from his past years, but he thinks this year's show gives the band a lot more to work with musically and has more potential with the visual aspects portrayed throughout. With it being his first year as drum major after playing with the front ensemble the last 3 years, Ware said stepping up as a drum major was always in the back of his mind. He was looking to become section leader of the front ensemble until Stalter encouraged him to try out for drum major. I just tried out and then I realized that I did want to do it. I wanted it pretty bad, so I worked as hard as I could to get there, and that's where we are now, Ware said. Timothy Rogers, 18, senior trumpet section leader, said it feels bittersweet knowing this will be his last year, and there is some stress with the responsibility of leading the underclassmen, but he's also excited to close out his high school career with a memorable show. Rogers said the show has a lot of emotions to convey, with love and tragedy reaching the climax with chaos, and he even gets to play a solo that goes along with the fire theme. Personally, he said, his biggest goal this year is to leave an impression on the underclassmen and have the freshmen look up to the senior class the same way he and others did when they were freshmen. When you get into marching band, you don't really understand the feeling until you perform at a competition or football game, Rogers said. I hope the freshmen or anyone new to marching this year can walk from that first performance and this season feeling great and wanting to do it again. And a sidebar is entitled, If You Go, Eureka Marching Hornets Schedule. Washington Marching Panther Invitational, September 6th at Washington Community High School, 115 Bondurant, Washington. Red and Black Fall Classic, September 20th at Northern Illinois University, 1201 North Stadium Drive, DeKalb. Downers Grove South Marching Mustang Music Bowl, October 4th at Downers Grove South High School, 1436 Norfolk Street, Downers Grove. Illinois State Marching Band Championship, October 11th at Illinois State University's Hancock Stadium, 211 North Main Street, Normal. Lincoln Way Invitational, October 18th at Lincoln Way Community High School, 21701 South Guger Road, New Lenox. Eureka High School home football games, September 5th, September 26th, and October 17th. The next local story is entitled, Weapons Burglary Lead to Prison, by Caitlin Klepek. Bloomington. A Bloomington man has been sentenced to 10 years in prison on a weapon charge 10 months after prosecutors said he broke into multiple vehicles. Jamoud O. Tutwiler, 28, pleaded guilty Tuesday to one count of unlawful use of weapons by a felon when he appeared before Judge William Yoder. Initially, Tutwiler faced 18 charges, two counts of armed habitual criminal, Class X felonies, four counts of unlawful use of weapons by a felon, Class 2 felonies, three counts of burglary, Class 2 felonies, two counts of possession of a firearm without a valid firearm owner's identification card, Class 3 felonies, two counts of burglary without causing damage, Class 3 felonies, two counts of unlawful possession of a credit or debit card, Class 4 felonies, three counts of using a forged credit or debit card, Class 4 felonies. Assistant State's Attorney David Rossi dismissed the remaining charges after Tutwiler pleaded guilty to the Class 2 felony counts in accordance with a plea agreement. These charges came about following a string of reported burglaries of unlocked motor vehicles beginning in June 2024. Tutwiler was initially accused of taking debit, credit, or gift cards from an unlocked car and taking a loaded 9mm handgun, a loaded 12mm pistol magazine, and a 17mm pistol magazine from an unlocked car that was parked inside a garage. Bloomington police identified the stolen firearm and ammunition in images found on Tutwiler's cell phone, prosecutors said at the defendant's detention hearing, held in November 2024. Yoder sentenced Tutwiler to 10 years in the Illinois Department of Corrections on the weapons offense, to be followed by 1 year of mandatory supervised release. Yoder also ordered him to pay $466.54 in restitution. Tutwiler had earned credit for 306 days already served. First Assistant Public Defender Matthew Coders represented Tutwiler during Tuesday's plea hearing. He could not be reached for comment on the outcome of the case following the hearing. The next local story is entitled, Motorcycles SUV Crash, Rider Dies, by Roger Miller. Metamora. A 63-year-old man has died after a motorcycle crash on Monday in Woodford County. Michael Eddy of Peoria was taken by helicopter to a Peoria hospital after the crash, but died of his injuries at 1:26 a.m. Tuesday, according to a news release from the Peoria County Coroner's Office. Eddy suffered multiple blunt force trauma injuries in the crash, the news release said. Toxicology testing is pending. The crash, involving three motorcycles and an SUV, had occurred around 5:30 p.m. Monday on Illinois Route 26, about 6 miles north of Metamora. The Woodford County Sheriff's Office said initial reports indicated the motorcycles were southbound together on Route 26 when the lead motorcycle crossed the center line in the center line and struck a northbound Toyota Highlander. The rider of the lead motorcycle, now identified as Eddie, was thrown from the roadway and critically injured, police said. A second motorcycle struck debris in the roadway, and the rider was transported from the scene by ambulance with serious injuries. The third motorcycle rider was not injured. Two occupants of the Highlander sustained minor injuries. The next story is headlined, Veterans Crash Injures Motorcyclist, by Caitlin Klepek. Bloomington. A motorcyclist has been hospitalized following a crash on Veterans Parkway Tuesday evening, marking the second motorcycle crash on Veterans Parkway this week. Bloomington police and fire responded shortly before 9 p.m. Tuesday to a single vehicle crash involving a motorcycle near the intersection of Veterans Parkway and Clearwater Avenue. The driver, an adult male, was found unresponsive in the roadway, according to a news release from the Bloomington Police Department. Several community members stopped to help the man before paramedics arrived. Paramedics then provided initial medical care before taking the man to a local hospital for treatment of potentially life-threatening injuries, the news release said. Southbound traffic on Veterans Parkway from Vernon Avenue to Clearwater was shut down for several hours while the McLean County Accident Reconstruction Team, BPD Crime Scene Unit, and BPD Drone Unit investigated the crash. The news release noted this was the second motorcycle crash on Veterans Parkway in just 2 days. The first, which happened at 10:43 p.m. Sunday at Veterans Parkway and Eastland Drive, was also a single-vehicle crash resulting in life-threatening injuries. It is essential for all users of our highway system to follow the rules of the road, BPD Chief Jamal Symington stated. Those rules are designed to maintain safety. They are standards created for minimizing crashes, injuries, and damage. We will place a higher emphasis on traffic enforcement as a result of these severe crashes and public complaints. The next local article is entitled, Armed Person in Rob Area Sought, by Caitlin Klepek. Normal. Normal police are investigating after an armed subject was seen Tuesday afternoon, according to a social media post. Around 2:30 p.m., officers were dispatched to the 600 block of West Rob Road for a report of an armed subject. Upon arrival, officers located and confronted the suspect, who immediately fled on foot, police said. During the pursuit, officers recovered a weapon that was believed to have been in the suspect's possession, according to a statement from Normal Police, posted on Facebook just after 3 p.m. By 4:15 p.m., Public Information Officer Brad Park said officers had cleared the area, but the suspect had not yet been located. Park said the only description officers could provide was the suspect was last seen wearing black clothing and white shoes. No details related to age, sex, or race were provided. No injuries were reported, and police did not indicate any shots had been fired. No further information was available Wednesday. Anyone who sees a person matching the police's description or notices suspicious activity in the area is asked to call 911 immediately. To submit an anonymous tip, text Normal PD to 847-411 or use the Normal PD app. And here's a story entitled, Scott Offering Health Grants by Olivia Jacobs. Bloomington. The John M. Scott Healthcare Commission is now accepting grant applications for the 2027 fiscal year. This period runs from May 1, 2026 through April 30, 2027 for the Category 2 grant cycle. Over $650,000 will be awarded. Applications are available on the city's website from September 3rd to October 15th for interested organizations who meet trust requirements. Applications for priority grants and healthy priority capital grants are both available through this request for proposal, according to a news release. Community members awarded with trust funds are required to have an annual household income at or below 185% of the federal poverty level and be residents of McLean County, the news release said. For more information, contact William Bessler, Grants Manager for the City of Bloomington, at wbessler@cityblm.org. or 309-434-2343. And here is a front page Illinois State story headlined, Pritzker Sees Terror Cruelty. Trump's Aim for ICE Troops in Chicago Blasted. By Ben Zielinski, Capital News, Illinois. Chicago. Governor J.B. Pritzker said he expects Immigration and Customs Enforcement agents to employ the same aggressive strategies they used in Los Angeles earlier this summer after President Donald Trump said he will deploy the National Guard to Chicago. The information, Pritzker said Tuesday, was not directly communicated to him, but rather gleaned from anonymous sources in the federal government, military, and well-sourced news reports. He said he's been told members of the Texas National Guard are being readied for deployment to Chicago, and many of the same federal ICE and Homeland Security groups that worked in LA are being relocated to Chicago. Pritzker said Illinois State Police received a call from Customs and Border Protection Chief Gregory Bovino over the weekend, confirming that ICE will ramp up immigration enforcement in Chicago at some point this week. But the call, Pritzker said, was more rhetorical than informational. Bovino, who was recently described in a New York Times article as the face of Trump's immigration policies, led immigration operations in LA, which included aggressive and sometimes controversial tactics, leading to claims of racial profiling, according to the Times. Any rational person who has spent even the most minimal amount of time studying human history has to ask themselves one important question. Once they get the citizens of this nation comfortable with the current atrocities committed under the color of law, what comes next? Pritzker said. To what extent the effort will be aided by the National Guard is unclear. But just minutes before Pritzker took questions, Trump removed any doubt that he'd like to deploy the National Guard, even as a federal judge in California ruled Tuesday that his guard deployment in that city was illegal. We're going in. I didn't say when we're going in, Trump said from the Oval Office, repeating that he wants Pritzker to call him and ask for help. Naval Station Great Lakes in North Chicago will be the staging grounds for ICE, the Sun-Times reported. Pritzker said staging began at the base Monday. The governor also said he believes the Trump administration planned to come to Chicago in September to target Mexican Independence Day celebration. Let's be clear. The terror and cruelty is the point, not the safety of anyone living here, he said. Chicago has one of the largest Latino populations in the nation, and 74% of that group are of Mexican heritage, according to a study last year by the University of Illinois Chicago. The city's Mexican Independence Day parade is scheduled for September 14th. Pritzker encouraged residents to learn their rights and film ICE's work. "Authoritarians thrive on your silence," he said. "Be loud for America." Pritzker also warned protesters to remain peaceful and said Trump plans to use skirmishes with ICE to justify sending the National Guard. If someone flings a sandwich at an ICE agent, Trump will try and go on TV and declare an emergency in Chicago, he said. "I'm imploring everyone, if and when that happens, do not take the bait." Illinois Attorney General Kwame Raoul said he plans to take legal action if federal officials take unconstitutional actions, including in law enforcement duties. President Trump has been utilizing the notion that he and he alone can deal with crime in American cities, and his preferred tool in doing so is the American military, Raoul said. "The problem with this approach is that it's both bad strategy and illegal." L.A. deployment illegal, judge rules. A federal judge in California ruled Tuesday morning that Trump's troop deployment to Los Angeles in June to fight crime violated an 1878 law prohibiting the military from carrying out domestic law enforcement. The judge wrote there is ample evidence to suggest Trump plans to continue violating the law, citing the president's statements about Chicago. Trump activated thousands of members of the National Guard without California Governor Gavin Newsom's permission to manage protests against aggressive immigration raids in the city. The judge ruled there was no evidence of rebellion or that local law enforcement was unable to manage the protests themselves. The ruling provides Illinois with a legal precedent to lean on should Trump again try to deploy the National Guard in Chicago under the guise of managing protests and protecting ICE officials. "I would love to do it now," Trump said of Chicago. "We're going to do it anyway. We have the right to do it because I have an obligation to protect this country." Raoul said no situations that would allow the president to deploy the National Guard in Chicago exists. The militia clauses of the United States Constitution give Congress sole authority to decide the circumstances that allow the president to federalize the National Guard, Raoul said. The 10th Amendment preserves state sovereignty to enforce state laws as they see fit. Trump inflated where Chicago ranks on crime compared to other cities in his remarks Tuesday, comparing it to Afghanistan and again calling it a hellhole. "The president's absurd characterizations do not match what is happening on the ground here," Pritzker said. "He has no idea what he's talking about. There is no emergency that warrants deployment of troops." Chicago Mayor Brandon Johnson blamed Trump for the city's gun violence problems because Trump's administration has withheld federal funding for violence prevention from the city. He added he welcomes more partnerships with federal law enforcement agencies. Violent crime is down in Chicago this year, however. Chicago Police Department data through August 24th shows crime is down 13% overall compared to 2024, including murders down 32%. Crime remains up 40% from 2021, however. We'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Pantograph for September 4th. Please stay tuned.